Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
I do not make predictions. I don't. That's not the business that I am in this seat. I know a lot of people who do sports talk radio or talk about sports on TV. They're big into predictions and telling you what will happen. I can't pretend to be that smart. I don't know what will happen. I can talk factors. I can certainly look at matchups and I can talk about history until the cows come home. But I'm not going to tell you what happens in a particular game or a series. Or for those people who ask me in August who's going to win the Super Bowl, I can't tell you that either. Nor do I want to. I feel like the beauty of sports and one of the reasons that I love talking about sports for a living is because there's something new and because there are generally shocks and surprises and stunners and what moments all the time. If I knew what was going to happen, it would be boring. So I don't make predictions. And then in addition to that, you know, this is true for those of you who are fans out there. Very often, you all will accuse those of us who work in the business of a bias when we pick a particular team, or because you believe that we somehow have insider trading knowledge that if we are wrong, then it affects our credibility. I don't necessarily think that's the case. If people recognize that we're guessing the same way that you're guessing, I just don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy guessing who's going to win. And clearly, judging by my lack of success in survivor pools, I'm obviously not the person who guesses correctly. I actually think I'm too logical when it comes to deciding who's going to win and who's not going to win. Anyway, things very rarely go the way that people expect. Otherwise, we wouldn't love sports and the drama of them as much as we do. All that to say, I am not predicting a World Series matchup between the Yankees and the Dodgers. Now, I can imagine there are plenty of people out there who believe that's going to happen, who expect it to happen, because now you've got each of these teams, New York and LA, sitting two wins away from a fall classic. Still, we've seen crazier things happen in baseball and in sports. We shouldn't take it for granted yet. But I'm wondering, if it does happen, are you in or are you put out? Meaning you don't want to hear about New York and LA. You don't want it to be a series between East Coast and West Coast and two of the highest paid rosters, the most expensive payrolls in sports. I can tell you, baseball will love this without a doubt. It is rare that you end up with two MVPs in the same World Series at the same time, meaning current MVPs. And that's likely what we're going to have in Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge. So this would be a ratings bonanza. This would be best case scenario if you're looking at it from a bottom line. The Yankees are a very popular franchise. We know this. They're like Duke basketball, Dallas Cowboys football. Even if you hate them, you still have an opinion about them, and there's a passionate sports hate that comes with it. And they have a very rabid fan base. There are Yankees fans everywhere you go. Same thing with the Dodgers. The Dodgers have fans everywhere you go. Can I tell you, when I travel overseas, especially in countries in Central America and South America, I often see Yankees and Dodgers jerseys or t-shirts. These are two very popular franchises. The Dodgers now even more popular because of the addition of Shohei Ohtani. And not just Shohei, but Yamamoto, who is supposed to be pitching in game number 4 on Thursday. This is a global audience now for the Dodgers and for Shohei's games. And that's why, one reason why, the Dodgers were not at all going to flinch over paying Ohtani $700 million. Do you know how much money they're making by having Ohtani on their roster and locked up for as much, locked down for as long as he is? And it's already paying dividends in year number one. Not only because he became baseball's first 50-50 guy when it comes to home runs and stolen bases, he hasn't even pitched yet. He's healthy now. He is a workhorse. He's dedicated to his craft. He just wants to play baseball and win. He fits in well as a teammate. You wouldn't know he's one of the highest priced athletes on the planet. He doesn't carry himself that way. He doesn't conduct himself that way. It's paying dividends for the Dodgers already. But even if they don't win a World Series, they're making money hand over fist by having Ohtani on the roster. So trust me, the money is worth it. Yamamoto was hurt for a good portion of the season, but you can see the potential there as well. So they're fine paying the $1 billion that they've locked up for these couple of guys because of situations like this. It's a global audience for Ohtani. Producer Pete, have you noticed on the TV broadcast? I just started to see this, I guess, the last couple of days. I've kind of seen it in other places. So when Fox is carrying a college football game, have you noticed that they have a Shohei Ohtani icon that pops up in the corner of the TV to let you know he's coming up next? Not the Dodgers, not the baseball playoffs, but Ohtani is coming up next.
Yeah, you know where they're invested.
Right.
Right in the Dodgers, right in Ohtani.
Yeah, and now it's not just in like a broadcast of, say, college football or another, maybe a NASCAR race, but other sports that are on Fox. Now it's also about Ohtani's at bat, two away. I mean, I actually saw that in the corner of the screen. Now, see, very often when I'm watching games, I am also working on my computer. I'm taking notes. A lot of times in between pitches or in between batters, I'm not necessarily paying attention to what you see on the screen. So I had seen the Ohtani logo and the Ohtani icon that had popped up in other places on other broadcasts. But I actually saw it tonight multiple times where they had this little, it's an Ohtani avatar, and it pops up and it says his at bat is just two away. Which is crazy. And it actually happened. I'm not sure if you saw this, Pete. It actually happened. I don't recall which inning it was, but he can come over here. That's fine. You want to come over here? Hi, Michael. We've got a guest in studio that we'll talk about here in a little bit. But Ohtani was, he was actually, because they had an out, a third out, he wasn't coming up until the next inning. So they had advertised that his at-bat was two away, and then they still had to sit through, fans who tuned in just for Ohtani, still had to sit through another half inning plus to get to him. I mean, they must know something that we don't, or it must be a much bigger deal for them than it is for us in the business. Not that Ohtani isn't terrific, because he is, but is it really worth telling people, hey, he's coming up in two batters, don't tune out,
yes,
because you might miss him?
It's probably for the fan that's the casual fan.
Yeah, seriously. So as I was saying, the Dodgers are making money hand over fist with Ohtani. They're not blinking at spending the kind of money on him that they are. Let's just say, for the sake of an argument, he wins, I don't know, three more MVPs. Maybe he wins a Cy Young. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't. But they get to the World Series a couple times. They win a couple titles. He's worth all of that. But even if they don't, he's making the money just because of jersey sales and the fact that they're on TV more often because of the global audience. So it's pretty incredible how they're doubling down and tripling down. But back to my original question, I'm not assuming Dodgers and Yankees in the World Series, only saying that this would obviously be something that network executives would be thrilled over. So I'm wondering about our audience. I think we should put a question out there. How do you feel? How do you really feel about a potential Dodgers-Yankees matchup? And it's a safe space, right? So even if you want to pretend like with all your buddies that you hate the Yankees, or you don't want to see the Dodgers, or this sucks, or no one's going to... Well, first of all, we know that's not true. Lots of people will watch. The ratings will bear it out. It's a little bit like Celtics-Lakers. The ratings will, in fact, bear out that people care. But I'm wondering what people will say about Dodgers-Yankees if it comes down to that. Because as much as you have humongous fan bases for those two clubs, you also have the opposite, which is people are tired of hearing about them. They feel like they get special treatment from the networks. And of course, it's sports hate, which is really just jealousy.
Right. You'll get a lot of jealousy, no doubt, especially...
I do love sports jealousy.
Especially coming from fans of teams that have gotten eliminated by these guys. So, yeah, I would say you're going to get a lot of sports hate on those polls.
Yeah, so let's put it out there and ask people, in case this happens, let's clarify, right, so people don't know that I'm predicting Dodgers-Yankees, only that, as I say, it's a little bit like a Lakers-Celtics, where it's that type of a matchup. Plus, there's history, of course, between the two clubs and blah, blah, blah. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. This might be the first time I'm saying it in 10 minutes because I was going on and on. I was fired up about little Ohtani icons that pop up in the corner. Really excited. After the break, our friend Michael Duarte is here. Woo! Say hello, Michael Duarte.
Hello, Michael Duarte.
Of course, smartass. So Michael's here because he's in the New York area. Actually, Citi Field is in Queens. So he made the trip all the way down to Lower Manhattan to hang out with us. Love it when we have people in studio. So that's awesome. But let's talk about the game that was this game number 3 of the NLCS just a couple hours ago at Citi Field. And early on, the infielders were getting a major test. It seemed like the first couple innings, the vast majority of the balls that were put in play were all in the infield. Hard hit balls, balls that were bobbled, balls that were able to move guys around. So it was a lot more station to station than what we got later in the game. And both teams had opportunities early, and it was just a matter of who was going to capitalize.
He readies for the payoff pitch. Smith grounds the ball off of Severino's glove. Here comes Muncy. Everybody's safe as it dribbles towards short, but with Lindor back, no play. Will Smith with a hard hit ground ball right off the glove of the pitcher Severino, and it's 1-0 Dodgers here in game 3. Here's the 3-2 pitch from Buehler. Got him swinging! Walker Buehler buckles down and goes to the knuckle curve and is now cursing and shouting off the mound toward the Dodger dugout. He leaves them loaded in the second and keeps the Dodgers in front 2-0.
Walker Buehler was terrific. This is something that I didn't realize until I was doing some research, and I almost can't believe it's true. This was his first win since May 18th. Holy cow. So we'll talk about Walker Buehler and the year that he's had. He's obviously dealt with a ton of injuries, but he was up for this challenge. You can tell he's pitched in a lot of really big games. So in the first inning, or no, not, sorry, not first inning, top of the second inning, in this first situation where the Dodgers have the ability to put some runners or ducks on the pond, Will Smith is able to drive a runner home because of an RBI infield single. Like that's what was happening on the base paths. And then Walker Buehler loads the bases full of Mets in the bottom of that frame, and he's able to get a huge strikeout. And as I went back, because he had so many big Ks, as I went back, I realized he ended each of his four innings on the mound with a K. He was able to get out of any jam. I think the fourth was actually a 1-2-3 inning, but he was able to get out of all of his innings by finishing with a strikeout. So ultimately he's pulled after four. Something that was interesting too, Pete, if you were paying attention to the broadcasters or paying attention to the in-game interview with Dave Roberts, did you hear him say he was planning on pulling Walker Buehler?
Yeah, he had the strategy. The strategy was all set. They were ready to go for Lindor.
I had never heard a manager actually admit something like that before. Now, these are obviously live interviews that Fox is doing, and he went ahead and mentioned that, in fact, he was planning on pulling Walker at a particular point. But he was great. He ends up getting six strikeouts and scatters a few guys on base, like we said, left the bases loaded in the second. So early on, it was more about putting the balls in play, but a lot of moments in the infield where the fielders had to decide, they're going to first, they're going to second, what are they going to do with the baseball? So you could see kind of that baseball education that was at play there. The Dodgers were able to get a couple of runs in that case, and then it was bombs away for LA.
Shohei 16 for his last 19 with runners in scoring position. That's where Smith is on second. The pitch is hit high in the air, right field, hooking toward the pole, and this ball is fair and gone. Shohei Ohtani unloads a three-run home run here in the top of the eighth inning. His second of the postseason makes it 7-0 LA. Muncy gets into a ball high in the air, right field. He drops the bat. Max Muncy, max power into the second deck. There was no doubt off the bat that Max Muncy was leaving the yard. His third home run of the postseason, his second in as many games, make it 8-0 Dodgers.
On the Dodgers radio network, yeah, Shohei Ohtani finally goes deep in this series, and his numbers with runners in scoring position versus nobody on base, man, I've never seen such a stark contrast. He actually is hitless with no one on base in front of him, but when there's runners in scoring position, he is terrific. So he has a 410-foot home run, which essentially slams the door, but then Max Muncy, another home run, a solo shot that makes the final 8-0, and those are the calls with Steven Nelson on the Dodgers radio network. Now, a couple of things that stand out, and then we'll get some post-game reaction. 7 walks given up by Mets pitching, so that's a lot. We know a lot of times when you're facing a really good team, especially a roster that's full of MVPs and experienced hitters like the Dodgers, those walks will come back to bite you in the rear. And then as for the Mets, they left 8 different guys on base, and they were 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position. And Francisco Lindor was talking about how they've got to be able to take advantage of those opportunities when they've got them.
They execute it, their pitches. We have people on base, and we didn't. You didn't execute. I didn't execute. That's what it comes down to. You know, we gotta execute when we have people in scoring position.
So the Dodgers get their fourth playoff shutout in 5 games. Here's just to circle back to where I started the hour. One of the reasons why you should know better than to make predictions, Amy, because the Dodgers have had almost 24 different starters this year. They've made 3, maybe 4 bullpen starts in these playoffs so far, and yet they had a 33 consecutive scoreless inning streak for their pitching staff, and now they've got 4 shutouts in 5 games in the playoffs. That's not what you would have expected. Of all the things that you probably would have thought about the Dodgers, well, they'll hit the snot out of the ball and they'll put more runs on the board than you will, which is a possibility. But for their pitching to be as good as it's been, I really appreciate what we've seen with Dave Roberts and his pitching staff, because they have pulled the strings and pushed the buttons masterfully. All right, at A-Law Radio, we're excited to have our friend Michael Duarte of NBC LA in studio. He's hanging out with us. I think he's still on LA hours because he was texting me in the fourth hour of our last show, still awake on LA hours, but is now here with us in New York. And we're going to get some more reaction to game three of the NLCS. And if you didn't see it, a game winner, buzzer beater, last second game winner in the WNBA finals. And that's taking place even while we're going through October baseball. So yeah, there's a lot happening always in October. It just smacks you upside the head. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on the Infinity Sports Network.
Another 1-2 pitch here in the top of the sixth. Hernandez hits it in the air left field. Nimmo back on the warning track. He's at the wall. This ball is gone! Kike Hernandez owns October. A two-run blast, and the Dodgers double their lead. It's now 4-0 in the sixth. Dodgers one out away. Harrison Bader swings at the first pitch, hits it high in the air, shallow left field. Teoscar Hernandez hustling in. He's underneath it, and he squeezes out number three. That is a game three win for L.A. The Dodgers shut out the Mets 8-0 and take a 2-1 series lead in this best-of-seven NLCS.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's weird. It's weird to see a series go like this, and yet it does. These wild momentum swings that we've had so far in the NLCS. To hear the calls there with Steven Nelson on Dodgers radio. So we've had a 9-0 victory for LA in the opener. That was back at Dodger Stadium. We had a 7-3 victory for the Mets then, which really wasn't close. And then at Citi Field, game three, now the Dodgers win 8-0. Just odd. But yeah, the fact that the Dodgers have four shutouts in their last five playoff games is also not something that I would have expected. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find me online at A-Law Radio, also our Facebook page. Always good to connect with you. Walker Buehler with some vintage innings, four of them for the Dodgers. And well, he's not eligible for the win, so that was my faux pas earlier. He still hasn't won a game since May 18th, which is kind of the deal. And yet you see why he was so good for the Dodgers earlier in his career and when he's healthy, of course, and happy with his outing.
I said earlier I like pitching in the cold. The ball was moving around pretty good for me today, and you know, Will did a really good job. You look, shutouts in the playoffs don't come easy, and he did a really, really good job back there tonight.
It's easy to be to ride when the wind's at your back. That has been when he's going and riding really well, but you know, when there's some adversity, you get kicked in the teeth and you lose confidence. To then reset, to come back and still stick it out, that's something for me that I don't think he's ever had to do outside of having a surgery. So that's something for me that speaks to his character. And, you know, you look at kind of in June or July, you know, I don't think anyone could have seen him in this position right now. So it's a credit to Walker.
He missed most of 22 and all of 23 following a second Tommy John surgery. So he made 16 starts in the regular season, won once. His ERA was over 5. But this is a guy who's been with the Dodgers for a while and has won some big games in his career. And as I said, Michael Duarte, we're happy to have you here in studio. Yay. Thank you for making the drive down. I know New York is not easy, but you navigate LA, so you should be used to traffic. What's your reaction to
whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market? Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
What you saw from Walker.
I'm not surprised, but at the same time, Amy, people were trying to ask me before the game what my prediction would be, and I said if Walker gave up 5 runs in the first inning, that wouldn't surprise me, but if he went 5 shutout, that wouldn't surprise me. The thing that I know, and I know Walker really well since the day he got drafted, and I got to speak with him over the phone, and we talked about his Zach Greinke, Oral Hershiser comparisons to his playoff run in 2018, to even watching the 2017 run at Dodger Stadium in the World Series against Houston. So one thing I know is he lives for these big game moments. You talked about this. He doesn't have a win since May 18th. He was 1-6 on the year as an ERA close to 8. He doesn't care. As long as he gets the ball in October in the biggest moments, when the lights are the brightest and it doesn't really get any bigger than the Big Apple itself, he wanted the ball. He lives for these moments. He wanted to prove that he can perform what he can do on this stage, and he did that. So his performance doesn't surprise me. What did surprise me was the 6 strikeouts. He didn't have any strikeouts in that kind of disastrous start against the Padres in Game 3 of the NLDS, which he was able to still give the Dodgers length despite that crazy 6-run inning. And it was funny because you talked about this in your lead-up in the last segment. The bad defense behind Walker Buehler is usually something the Dodgers do, and like you saw in that 6-run inning where you don't know which base to go to. This time it was the Mets that did it in a Walker Buehler start that kind of gave him that 2-run lead and I think helped him pitch with confidence. But nothing bigger than that strikeout with the bases loaded to Lindor and back-to-back strikeouts to get out of that inning, the second inning, when the crowd was on their feet in front of me. They were loud. They had seemingly all the momentum. And you had the guy who had just hit a grand slam recently in the NLDS against the Phillies up, probably looking to do it again after they hit a grand slam in Game 2 with Vientos. And he strikes him out on a curveball. And I asked Walker specifically after the game, what pitch does 2018-2019 Walker Buehler throw in that situation? And he says, I'd throw a 98-mile-per-hour heater. So new Walker Buehler, post-second Tommy John surgery, he throws a curveball in that situation. Obviously, it works out, and it works out for the Dodgers.
It seemed like he used that pitch a lot, though, because he was going for it. A couple times it didn't work out. There were a couple that were in the dirt or that weren't in the zone. But he was turning to that pitch a bunch. And when he got that strikeout at the end of the second, he was so fired up. I mean, that roar of his, it's like all that adrenaline you talk about, wanting the ball in the big moment. I mean, that it really did, I could tell, fire him up, fire the dugout. It was pretty cool to see that. I love those moments.
Yeah, that was vintage Walker Buehler right there. And that was the other thing, like the 6 strikeouts we talked about. But 18 swings and misses, that's the most in his career in the postseason. And so to be able to do that, and one thing I would say is aging pitchers as they get older, especially flamethrowers like Walker Buehler is and was, you know, Clayton Kershaw's had to learn this over the years. Any veteran pitcher who's probably on the other side of their career will tell you, Amy, that they kind of have to relearn how to pitch with the tools they have because they can't just blow by guys with heat anymore. And now when guys can touch 100, 104, and the hitters can hit that velocity, to re-kind of adapt yourself and recreate yourself as a pitcher, it takes a lot of time. And so now what you're seeing with Walker Buehler is he's kind of like turning into Greg Maddux, right? He's dotting corners, he's throwing sliders, he's throwing changeups, he's throwing a cutter, a curveball. He's kind of relearning how to pitch, and it's almost like, you know, artistry at its finest to figure out what to do in these moments. And so, yeah, to see him do that was interesting. And one thing I wanted to bring up, and we'll talk about this, and so any of you conspiracy theorists out there with your tinfoil hats on.
You're the conspiracy theorist.
I can be from time to time, but you're sitting there setting the stage for Yankees and Dodgers, right?
Potentially.
Knock on wood here in the studio, but it's something we've been waiting for since 2017, and the Yankees haven't lived up to their end of the bargain yet, but hopefully it happens soon. But the biggest difference for Walker Buehler in this season is after coming back from the second Tommy John surgery, struggling, he had a start in Colorado. It was awful. They said, maybe you need some time. He was dealing with a little hip discomfort. He took time off. He took time off from the whole team. That's very rare from somebody rehabbing or taking a reprieve, as you would. He goes all the way down to Palm Beach, Florida, and goes to the Cressy Pitching Sports Performance Academy, which is actually run by Eric Cressy, who is the current director of player health and performance with the New York Yankees.
Ooh.
So kind of working with the enemy. But this is a guy he knew back in his Vanderbilt days and had never really worked with. And the Dodgers have, like, driveline people who are in their front office and within the organization who kind of help their pitchers. And Buehler's worked with them, but this was kind of new eyes on him, somebody else to kind of deal with the sports and performance and take a break. So he went down there, rehabbed through bullpen sessions, and has come back a new pitcher. And if it ends up being Yankees, Dodgers, knock on wood, fingers crossed, in the World Series, It'll be interesting to see now these two friends who helped Walker get to that level, if he were to pitch in that series, to go against the Yankees and the guy that helped him get back here.
Michael Duarte, NBC LA, in town to cover this NLCS, where the Dodgers are now two wins away, as are the Yankees, from the World Series. We're just asking you if it happens. Hey, producer Pete, who's Allah?
Change that.
Pete is infamous for posting some, like putting a post up online and only including half of my handle. It's actually kind of funny. He includes other
once.
People. Like Marco Belletti's here in studio last week or earlier this week. It was at Al. And there's Al. someone with a Japanese like anime avatar who is posting nefarious things. And he included him on our poll.
Yeah. Interesting.
So now it's Allah.
Allah Radio.
Allah Radio.
At Allah Radio.
So we're asking you true feelings here because, you know, social media, it's so honest and truthful and authentic. How you would feel if it was a Dodgers-Yankees World Series because we're getting closer. Now, Marco can recite, I don't know, the starting lineup for the Yankees going back to like 1987 or something. He's a encyclopedia. Marco, Michael, Marco. So, Marco, we were talking about Ohtani. Mm-hmm. Just because of the way the Dodgers were able to make money hand over fist with Ohtani. Mm-hmm. But I hadn't noticed, and I know you're here working a lot of the times, I hadn't noticed until tonight the little Ohtani icon that pops up when he's two hitters away, and mm-hmm. it says two hitters away or two at-bats away. Now, I had seen it during college football on Saturday, I think mm-hmm. it was Saturday, where they had put he just kind of pops up. It's like one of those when you're at a shooting gallery and the person pops up and you have to shoot it. I don't know if that's politically incorrect. But anyway, it pops up in the corner and it says, Ohtani, next, right? And it doesn't even say Dodgers. It doesn't say the series. It mm-hmm. just says, Shohei Ohtani is coming up next. Have you seen these?
Of course.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah. It's almost, it's reminiscent of a couple years ago when Aaron Judge was going after 62 and ESPN would break into every game that you're watching and you go, you see the at bat. He's coming up soon. It'll be 5 minutes. He's batting fourth next inning. Because it's bigger than the game. And that's kind of crazy because you're in the playoffs. But it's still the presence of Ohtani and what he represents and who he is and everything that goes along with it. It's bigger than the game. And they're also trying to sell the game. I'll give Major League Baseball credit, which is probably wrong because it's probably backhanded credit. It's more of Fox and TBS. They're smart enough to realize market this. People want to see Ohtani. If you give them a reason to say, hey, he's batting second or third next inning,
don't stick around.
Don't go to the refrigerator. Don't go to the bathroom. Well, hang out for 5 more minutes. Stay on this channel. It's smart because you got to be able to, you know, put your game forward and obviously the networks, they want to make money. They want to keep you on their station.
It reminded me, actually, as I was watching it, of something that we might see with other networks for Caitlin Clark. Because I can see them doing that, borrowing that little pop-up icon and saying, Caitlin Clark plays here next. Or, you know, forget the fever half the time. Forget, like, what uniform she wears or who they're playing. Just, hey, Caitlin Clark is on our TV network next.
But other sports, it's almost like you could do that before the game starts. And once the game starts, well, you know she's playing and then the game's... Baseball is weird
That's
in that
true.
Regard because
Good point.
There's so much downtime. There's so much instance where you can walk away. You can change the channel. You can half an inning here. Got to get you back. Got to bring you back. Where's your mind? Ohtani's coming up soon. Bring it back. And that's smart. That's smart by the networks. They know what they're doing.
Dodgers Mets game 3, and we know the third game in a tie series generally is about 81% of the time the winner goes on to advance in a 7-game series. So take that for what you will. The Mets obviously are one of the best teams in the majors at rallying when they're down to their final couple lives or their final couple heartbeats. So we'll talk more about this game, but I want to talk about Ohtani with Michael Duarte because he's spent now a season covering this guy and the furor around him. At A-Law Radio, you can answer that question about the Yankees-Dodgers World Series. What would be your excitement level? And then 855-212-4227. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
And AM was sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. Dodgers looking for a bounce back after game 2, and Shohei Ohtani, the exclamation point.
Shohei 16 for his last 19 with runners in scoring position. That's where Smith is on second. The pitch is hit high in the air, right field, hooking toward the pole, and this ball is fair and gone. Shohei Ohtani unloads a three-run home run here in the top of the eighth inning.
Ohtani, the dagger. Dodgers sounds the Mets 8-0. Call courtesy of the Dodgers Radio Network. Kike Hernandez's 15th career postseason home run. Max Muncy went deep as well, while five pitchers combined on a four-hitter. LA up 2-1. Steelers might just be preparing for a switch at quarterback as Russell Wilson getting some first-team reps. Unclear if he'll make the start against the Jets or if they're going to stick with Justin Fields, who has led them to a 4-2 start. Jets, a new piece for that one, the acquisition of Davante Adams, who missed the last few games for the Raiders with a hamstring injury. So does Adams expect to make his Jets debut on Sunday night?
Yeah, whatever a full load is, but definitely I'll be able to roll. I'll be feeling good right now and was running around today. We had a walk through practice today, but it was good. Felt good running around.
Chiefs still unbeaten despite not showing their typical domination, but Kyle Shanahan not buying the idea that Patrick Mahomes of Kansas City not at the top of their game.
Everyone says down year just because their numbers aren't just crazy, but I mean, Pat's as good as it gets. He's been as good as it gets since the first year that he got to play. You know, all their games, I think, except for one, have come down to the last possession, and he's as good as anyone in that last possession. You know, their running numbers aren't quite what they were last year. Their red zone isn't real high, so I think that equates to numbers. But Pat is Pat, and he's as good as it gets, and I don't see that changing at all.
Saints could be shorthanded against the Broncos. Chris Olave will miss the game with a concussion. Rashid Shaheed, a knee injury, could land him on IR. WNBA Finals, Sabrina Ionescu drained a 3-1 second remaining, lifted the Liberty by the Lynx 80-77. Brianna Stewart led the way 30 points, 11 rebounds, 4 block shots. They take a 2-1 series advantage. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
The 0-1 hit deep to right field. This ball's going a long way. Only question is fair or foul, and it is a fair ball, three-run homer. Deep into the Coca-Cola corner in right field, right down the line. And the Dodgers have busted this open. A three-run homer for Shohei Ohtani. And it is now 7-0 Los Angeles here in the eighth inning.
It's important for Shohei, certainly, to build some confidence. I think that's number one. And number two, yeah, you mentioned, Mike, when you're in a long series, kind of not having to have Blake go back out there for another inning, not having to use Evan tonight or Hudson tonight, and then you know, allowing Ben Kasperis to go out there and give us two huge innings. Those things matter.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Dave Roberts and the Shohei Ohtani NLCS home run, courtesy of Howie Rose on Mets Radio. I happened to be listening to, I think at that time I was listening to Dodgers Radio, and they were talking about the fact that fans were doing a mass exodus, and that it even happened before the Ohtani home run. So the people who left didn't get to see the 410-foot moonshot that went up and over the foul pole or the fair pole, depending on what you call it. And they looked at it briefly. There's no way they were going to be able to overturn it. And he gets his big home run, which essentially sealed it, though there was a Max Muncy home run after that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Michael Duarte, NBC LA, is here in studio. My gosh, it's so nice to see another person in here, which is cool. Usually it's just me and Pete. Between the double pane glass there. So what is it like to cover Ohtani? Because he is a global superstar, and it's not just American media or American fans who are interested in Ohtani.
What's it like to cover Shohei Ohtani, Amy? Are we live right now? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to pull a Kike Hernandez. But it has its pros and cons. It's a little ups and downs, highs and lows, a little bit of a roller coaster ride covering him. The negative aspects of covering Shohei Ohtani are that suddenly the press box at Dodger Stadium, you know, went from, we know everybody, it's kind of like the Cheers right. bars, right? You walk in, everybody knows your name, to now we have hundreds of more Japanese media
wow.
in the press box. Over the dining room at Dodger Stadium's press box, you know, it was always nice. You could get together and sit at a big table. And, you know, sometimes back in the day, Vin Scully would come sit and talk to us. And now Joe Davis and Orel Hershiser and Fernando Valenzuela, you know, would sit and talk to us in the most recent years. But now it's been completely turned into like an auxiliary press box for all of the extra overflow media. Getting a credential to Dodgers is difficult now in the Ohtani era. A great example of this was after they clinched the NL West division against the Padres at home in that final regular season game of the home, final homestand of the season. Normally, in every other year, every media member would be in the clubhouse with beer and champagne and all that. This particular year, all the TV affiliates, like myself, all the local TV affiliates, if you weren't part of Spectrum Sports, or you weren't the Japanese rights holders for television, or you weren't like one of like five or six selected beat writers, you were not allowed in the clubhouse. The celebration would have to come to you.
Wow.
They put us in the hallway.
There's not enough room.
Correct. And so even covering Ohtani, you can't go up to his locker like we do for the last, I don't know how many decades, and interview these guys. They have to have a whole different step and repeat backdrop for Ohtani to stand in front of with all the Japanese sponsors on it. And he has to come in and talk to us. And so it's definitely different. He's treated almost like Kobe was back in the day when in my early days of sports journalism covering the Lakers, kind of handled with care. You know, even if you can go up in pre-clubhouse hours when the clubhouse is open or even after the game, and you can walk up and talk to any player you want. And as you know, being in locker rooms, that's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Ohtani, you can't. You know,
is
you
that
try
his
to go,
choice or it's just too much?
I think it's the handlers. I don't necessarily think
gotcha.
It's him. I think Ohtani, what I have learned from him is when he's on the field, despite all the cameras and all the lights on him, he's just a regular guy. Despite not knowing the language or not being his first language, he has some funny one-liners with the teammates and players. He makes guys laugh. He keeps it loose.
They've got all the handshakes.
They got all the handshakes down, all the celebrations.
Yeah.
They love him. And it, you know, Mookie Betts is a former MVP. He arguably could have been the MVP this season had he not gotten hurt, fractured a finger on his hand and his wrist, and you know missed a couple months because he may have been the MVP frontrunner when he got hurt. And obviously that pushed Shohei Ohtani to the leadoff spot, and he just ran with it the rest of the season and put up this historic season with 54 home runs, 59 stolen bases. But when a guy like Mookie Betts and a guy like Freddie Freeman, who have they're going to be Hall of Famers for in baseball one day in Cooperstown, when they say Shohei Ohtani is that much better than them and better than everybody else they've ever seen, that's telling to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just talking to Mookie after the game one-on-one saying, can you believe this narrative with Shohei as far as they were comparing him to Barry Bonds, to Aaron Judge this postseason, you know, that he just doesn't perform on the big stage. And he's been performing with runners in scoring position, which we can get to later. But without running on the scorer's position, he's like Steve Rogers in the very first Captain America movie before he got all enhanced, right? And then with runners in scoring position, he turns into Captain America. But Mookie was just like, Shohei is the best player on the planet no matter what, and he just has 20 human-like at-bats. We all panic and worry, and he believes it's because Shohei is so good, he has set the bar so high for our expectations that he's just going to do something spectacular every single time he comes up to the
plate. It's like Tiger Woods.
Correct.
You're a victim of your own
Correct.
Success.
And when he doesn't, we start hitting the panic button like we're doing now. And so that's what he said. He knows Shohei is by far beyond the best player in baseball. And even on their own team, which has three MVPs outside of Ohtani and Kershaw, Betts, and Freeman. And so just hearing that from them is telling to me. And then to finish it up, I was hearing from Mets fans yesterday out in the city here, out in Queens, hearing them before the game. They were saying Shohei Ohtani's never seen anything like this. It's going to be cold. It's going to be windy. There's going to be fans yelling at him, booing him, insulting him. And he went and hit it to LaGuardia, of course, in that bat, and silenced them with that massive home run. So.
Just a couple of minutes before we hit the top of the hour here, but I remember what you're saying about the Japanese media, because when I was covering the Red Sox, before I made the jump to national radio, Daisuke Matsusaka was part of the Red Sox. And it's not Shohei Ohtani, of course, but he was part of a World Series championship with Boston, and the Japanese media, all of a sudden it doubled the local media, the national media in the United States, but then boom, you had a whole other contingent, and that was just for Matsusaka, not for a guy who's as good as Ohtani. How does he handle it, though, considering the fact that, as you say, he's pretty much set apart every other time except for when he's in the dugout with the guys?
So I had to cover the Angels when Ohtani was there, and he would typically speak, because he pitched at the same time, obviously, he would typically speak every 6 day when he pitched. So you're maybe getting to speak to him as a media member once a week.
Right.
And I know when he first came to the Dodgers and we had his introductory press conference, I reached out to his agent, Nez Bilello, and I said, he's not pitching this year. So you're going to tell me we're only going to get to talk to him once a week? And he was like, maybe. But no, he's actually been very gracious. I would say every 3 days he talks. If he does something like hit a home run like he did tonight, he talks. He's been in these pregame press conferences that baseball has, as well as the postgame, frequently. So he's handled it very well. I think he's speaking to the media more. And here's something that's interesting. You know, he was kind of aloof and private for those 6 years he was with the Angels. I see him having a lot more fun. Winning begets that, of course.
Yes.
But he got married in the offseason. He's got his dog Decoy now, which we love.
Yes.
The most famous first pitch I think I've ever seen in baseball earlier this year on his bobblehead night, his second bobblehead night, I might add. You were talking about how the Dodgers are cashing in on his fame. But married Ohtani with a dog and becoming more of a family man.
Oh.
I've seen a different side of him. He seems nice. A little more looser, less private, less protected, reserved. Obviously, we know the scandal with his interpreter Ipe Mizuhata.
What? I don't remember anything about that.
We were all over that earlier in the year. Look how far we've come.
It's not even a part of the story anymore. All right, so we're really excited. Michael Duarte, NBC LA, is with us here in studio. We're going to ask you to stick around for a couple minutes, if you don't mind, through the top of the hour. This portion of the show is sponsored by the new 2025 Hyundai Tucson Hybrid that has class-leading advanced safety features like the available blind spot view monitor to make your ride more enjoyable. At A-Law Radio or at Amy After Hours, how would you really feel about a Dodgers-Yankees World Series if that's where we end up? 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.